This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
How many of you saw our test? He's a basketball player. I mean, he's a real player. Even the wrist movement. And Shitu, you two used to play basketball. So after this, we are going to test. We are testing you two after this one. And then Prophet Gideon Danso. No, it's football. It's Nigeria versus Ghana. It's Eagles versus Black Stars. But I won't kick anything, so don't worry. Nigeria can't lose. All right. It's Pastor Kiana Anderson. All right. He's a friend of the house. He's a powerful voice. He mixes depth in teaching and preaching together. All right. So when you listen to him, you know there's depth there in teaching, but at the same time, there's preaching that stimulates and awakens our spirit. Let's rise to our feet and welcome to the podium all the way from Houston, Texas, Pastor Keon.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So, you see, I changed clothes today. I knew you were wearing pants and a shirt today. So I came out of my suit and dressed like the pastor. And so my wife, she had a dress on yesterday. She said, Pastor Toya had on a two-pan suit. She said, I'm putting on mine today. So we came dressed like, have you all been having a good time? Yeah. Today, I know the word that I have in the time that I have. It's from God, because as pastor was talking, I realize now why I had to stay up all night and switch the sermon, because today we're going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 22 and talk about Abraham and Isaac. And we're going to talk about the second most sufficient sacrifice in the history of the scripture, which is also a shadow of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And if you look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I am here. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering upon the mountain which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took of him two young men with him, and Abraham his son, Isaac his son, and clave the wood of the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and then I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it up upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went up together. That's enough for the reading of the word of God. I was looking at the theme, and the theme talks about the faith to move mountains, right? We're talking about the faith that moves mountains. But the question that kept coming up in my meditation was, what if I have the faith to move a mountain, but I don't have any mountains to move? What do I do? Or here's the other question. What do I do when there is a mountain that's bigger than my faith? I mean, everybody says they have faith, and that's true. We all have it. But how many of you will admit that sometimes you don't have the faith to move mountains? You don't always have the money to move mountains. You don't always have the connections to move the mountain. The Lord told me to give you an alternative for those of you all who don't have the money or the connections or the education or the faith to move a mountain. God says, here's another alternative. You can climb it. And I want to talk over the next few moments about mountain climbers. If you don't have the faith to move a mountain, then you can climb it. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Speak to our hearts like only you can. Breathe on us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. So how many of you all have ever read the book of Genesis chapter 22? Let me see your hands. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. But I find it alarming that the God of life would require murder to display faith. I find it difficult that God would require a man of faith to display murder in order to extrapolate or to display the fact that he actually believes that God is speaking to him. Now, Abraham is a man of immense faith. And if we are not careful, we will look at Abraham's faith and we will believe that we are not capable of doing what Abraham did, because Abraham, in this ultimate show of faith, has done something that not anybody else, and not many, there's only one other person, we'll talk about it, who has to actually sacrifice their son to put skin in the game. Abraham has to do this, and we will think that he's superhuman, but the truth is that Abraham has failed many tests before he passed this one. Okay. First of all, he failed the faith test when he said that Sarah was his sister, when in actuality, Sarah was what? His wife. So he's failed tests before. Remember when God told him to stay still in the land and he went to Egypt seeking food to escape a famine? He failed the famine test. I don't want you to think that Abraham was superhuman, because Abraham failed test after test after test. He failed the fatherhood test. Remember when God told him that he would have a son? He didn't wait on God, because we're talking about Isaac, but he had another son before Isaac. His name was Ishmael. So he failed that test, and he went into Hagar and impregnated her at the behest of his wife. So before we look at Abraham as superhuman, Let's understand that you can fail at faith and still be faithful. That even if you are not perfect, that God can still use you. What you must also understand is that every day in life is a test. And just because you failed the last exam doesn't mean you shouldn't study for the one that's coming. Just because you didn't get it right last time doesn't mean that you shouldn't study for the test that God is about to put in front of you. And I bring this up because just because you failed your last test, it doesn't mean that you flunked out of the school of faith. That every day you wake up is another opportunity for you to get it right. But you have to have courage in your abilities. Everybody say courage. You have to have faith in the outcome. Everybody say faith. You know, I didn't see it online, but when Pastor greeted me in the office yesterday, Pastor Poju came up to me and he said, I issued a challenge to you. And I said, what was the challenge? He said, I put it on Instagram. You have to make 3 out of 5 baskets. I didn't know what rim I was shooting on. I didn't know what basketball I was going to use. I didn't know how far I had to shoot. But the moment he issued the challenge, I immediately said, accept it. And I knew that no matter what the set of circumstances was, that I would pass the test. Now, here's how I knew that. I knew for sure that I would pass the test for two reasons. Number one, I trusted my abilities. But number two, because he's my friend, I knew he would never put me in a situation where I couldn't win. Because when you have a true friend, they always make sure that the challenge is within your capabilities. What you must understand about God is he will never ask you to do anything that he doesn't already know you have the ability to do. And if you get yourself into a situation that is too hard, God is such a great engineer that in every trouble he puts a way of escape. So that even if the enemy tries to trap you, God has already re-engineered the situation to make sure that if you get in too much of a predicament, he will always make sure that there's a way out. Touch your neighbor and say, there's a way out. I want you to trust God so much that you know that he will never put you in a situation to fail. The writer says that God tempted Abraham. But if you translate it, it actually means God tested Abraham, because James says that God neither tempts nor can he be tempted. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came to him and said, if you are God, turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus say? Thou shalt not what? Tempt the Lord thy God. He says that what I do doesn't come as a result of what you say. I do what I do by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's alarming when you look at the text and you see that God has given Abraham the materials of his son in order to pass this test. But here is what this is what really shocks me, is that faith sometimes requires you to go against what God originally said. Remember, he says, I want you to sacrifice your son. If you go and read Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, God says, I don't know why they are sacrificing their children, their sons and their daughters, because I did not command it. Now look at faith now requires you to do something that God previously said don't do. Because faith requires you to pay attention to what God is saying, not what God said. Oh, you got to listen to what I'm talking about. Faith requires you to hear what God is saying, not what God said. And a lot of us miss the blessing because we're stuck on what God said and we're not listening to what God is saying. Maybe he said in the past that it was not yours, but what he is saying today is that I have removed the limits from your life, and anything you speak, I'll give it to you. Maybe in the past he said it was not for you, but today he's saying that the reason why I did not give it to who you were is because who you were was not who I intended for you to be. Now that you have become who I want you to be, now you can have what you could never have, because I'm not blessing who you were, I'm blessing who you are. Touch somebody and say, I'm different than who I was. Touch somebody else and say, I'm different than who I was. That's why you have to be careful about allowing people to lock you into boxes, making you believe that who you were is who you always are. What most people don't want to do is give you the credit for changing, but I dare you tell somebody, I've changed. Not only have I changed, I've changed my mind. As a matter of fact, if you sit next to somebody who hasn't talked to you yet, move your seat, because I don't want you sitting next to somebody who doesn't have any faith. I need you to sit next to somebody who doesn't mind speaking into your life, because what God is about to do in your life, you're going to need to be sitting next to somebody who has the faith to do it with you. Ask your neighbor, do you have faith? What did they say? If they said no, tell them, get out of the building. Go outside. This is a faith room. If you don't have the faith the size of a mustard seed, get out of the room. Watch this. Faith the size of a mustard seed, the thing, you can speak to a mountain, and the mountain shall what? Faith the size of a mustard seed. When I say recently, I mean in the last decade, I was in South Africa. I walk up on a man and he's chewing a stick. And I said, why in the world is he chewing a stick? I asked him, what kind of stick is that? He said, this is the branch of a mustard tree. Still didn't make sense to me. I said, why are you chewing a chewing stick that is the branch of a mustard tree? He said, mustard branches have antimicrobial properties. And he says, while I am chewing the stick, it is killing the bacteria in my mouth. The Lord gave me a revelation that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, and he was chewing the mustard branch to eliminate the bacteria in his mouth, then the Lord gave me a revelation and said, faith doesn't work unless it's in your mouth. And I don't know who I'm talking to in this place today, but you can sit in this room all day and say, I've got faith, and you can write faith, and you can clap faith, and you can cross your legs and cross your arms and act like you have faith. But the real miracle is coming to the people who put their faith in their mouth. I want to see if I can get 1,000 people to open up your mouth in this place and begin to shout, I have the faith. I have the faith to win. I have the faith to scale. I have the faith to open business. I have the faith to speak to government. Somebody open up your mouth and give God glory. Listen, this is how you know you are exceptional. Everybody say, I'm exceptional. Come on, say it again. I'm exceptional. This is how you know you are exceptional. God starts to ask you to do things that he doesn't ask anybody else to do. He's only asked one person to lead this church. He's exceptional. He's only asked you to lead your family. You're exceptional. He's only asked you to start the business that you're getting ready to start. You're exceptional. He's asked you to do something in this country that nobody else has done. You're exceptional. You have to accept the challenge. But the reason why most of us fail is because we will only do things that have been proven. This is the season for you to do things that have never been done before. That means that you may have to get your Isaac and walk it up a mountain and sacrifice it. And I know why most of us won't do it. It's because we say, God, I waited so long to get it. But God says, that's the thing about faith. I only ask you for things you want to keep. I don't ask you for things that you don't mind releasing. I ask you for things that you want to keep. Watch what he says. Give me your only son. Now, how many of you know God is smart? So why would God tell Abraham to give me your only son when he already has a son? This isn't Abraham's only son. This is his second son. But why is God saying, give me your only son? Here's why. The first son was begotten of the flesh. The second son was begotten of faith. How do I know? Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that two people in their 90s don't have children. So they have to have faith in order to bear this son. God says, I don't respect anything that you didn't get through faith. Anything you did not get through faith doesn't count. So I only want the son that was begotten through faith. And I am only using people in this season who have what they have, not through ability, but through faith. Not because it was handed to you, but by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God only counts what you have begotten by faith. He says, bring me your only son. Now listen, as they are going up the mountain, Abraham is almost 100 years old. Some say he was 102. at the time, because some say that Isaac was around 12 years old. Now, how many of you all know that at 102 years, you don't have much strength? Notice God didn't ask him how much strength he had before he told him to climb the mountain. God says, I don't care how old you are, climb the mountain. Why? Because if you have faith, somehow between leaving home and getting to the mountain, I'll give you the strength to be able to climb the mountain. So he's 102. Isaac is about 12, 13 years old, which means that Isaac has enough strength to resist his father. But he doesn't. You know why? Because Isaac also is walking in faith. So you have a father who is so old he can't climb, a son who is too young to know where he's going, and there's another climber I'm going to talk to you about at the end of the text that we never talk about. We always talk about the father and son climbing up the mountain on one side, but have you ever thought about the ram that had to climb on the other side? So you got the father and the son climbing on this side. He's old enough to resist his father, but he does not. And the reason why I say this is a shadow is because this is actually a shadow of Jesus Christ. Let's look at it. There is a father named Abraham. In heaven, there is a father named Jehovah. On Mount Moriah, there is a son named Isaac. In heaven, there's a son named Jesus. There is a son who could resist his father, and there is also another son who could resist, because he says, if I call on my father, he will give me 12 legions of angels. So you've got a son who could resist, and you've also got wood, because Isaac has to carry his own wood, and what does Jesus Christ have to do? Come on, talk to me, somebody. He's got to carry his own wood. The father has a knife to cut his son, and the Sanhedrin council have a spear to stick in his side. And eventually you see the culmination of a shadow of Christ, because the Bible says it took them 3 days to get to the top of the mountain and to see a change. I don't know who this word is for, but I bet you it's about to stir faith in this place today. God says you are 3 days away from the sacrifice. I wish I had about 500 people who would touch your neighbor and say you're 3 days away. Touch your neighbor and say you're 3 days away. Tell somebody you're 3 days away. I said tell somebody you're 3 days away. Is that how you are going to act in this room, realizing that after all you've been through over your whole life, that you're only 3 days away from a miracle? The reason why I stopped the music is I don't want you to hide. I need to hear the voices of those who believe that triumph is your portion, and begin to give God the glory that you are 3 days away. Slap three people and say 3 days. That means that by the time you get to this church on Sunday, you'll already be blessed. That means by the time the weekend gets here, you'll already be healed. That means that by the time next week gets here, you'll already have a business with your name on it. Slap somebody and say 3 days. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop the music, because y'all hiding behind the music. The real instrument is your voice. Lift up your voice and make a sound of triumph. I want to hear somebody in the back. I want to hear somebody near the exit. I want to hear somebody in overflow. I want to hear somebody whose mouth has been shut by the enemy. Open up your mouth and let the devil know, you should have killed me when you had a chance, but I am a mountain climber. God says, give me your only son. My only son. God, you going to disrespect the boy I have? God says, I'm not disrespecting him. I just only count what I gave you. Stop trying to give God what God didn't give you. You can't say, here's Ishmael. God says, I didn't give you Ishmael. I gave you Isaac. You cannot offer God what God hasn't offered you. That's the reason you haven't gotten the movement in your life. It's because you keep offering Ishmael, trying to keep Isaac. And when you remove sacrifice from the equation, you upset God, because God himself sacrificed himself to get you. So God is asking the question, why are we in a one-way relationship? Why is it that I sacrifice for you, but you won't sacrifice for me? God says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself, here is the difference, as a living sacrifice. He says, I was the dead sacrifice so you could be the living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Watch what he says. The word of God says, God cannot tempt. Everybody say, God cannot tempt. Let me prove it to you. James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Now notice that God is vague about where the sacrifice is to take place. But he is very specific about what needs to be sacrificed. What needs to be sacrificed? He said it five times. Your son, your only son, the one whom thou lovest. Specific about what the sacrifice is. He says, okay, but God, where? He says, start walking and I'll tell you. Now, this is why most of us miss God, is because we ask too many questions. God, where? Show me a sign, God. If this is what you want me to do, God, I need you to come out of the heaven and give me, let me see a dove fly across the sky. God, if it's you, let the sun blink three times. God, if it's you, show me a sign. God, if it's you, let somebody walk up to me at 3:03 in the afternoon and touch me on the ankle. God, if it's you. God says, faith requires you to walk with no destination. Faith requires you to understand that I don't need to tell you where, because if you start walking, wherever you end up, I'll turn it into the place. He says, Abraham, go to a place called there. Did you not know that God is so powerful that if you just start walking, he has the ability to make where you are the destination? God says, just start walking. And when you get there, I'll show you. I just want you to start going. I don't want to tell you where, because that's not faith, that's direction. I want you to walk blindlessly, aimlessly, directionless. I just want you to wander to see if you trust that I can make water come out of a rock. I want to see if you'll trust me in the wilderness, to see if you'll trust that I'll make manna come out of the sky. I want to see if you'll trust me, to see if I'll make quail come and just fall at your feet. I want to know if you trust me. Somebody say, trust God. Now, the problem that Abraham has is that God has given him a demand with no direction. He's given him a demand with no direction. And that's where a lot of you all, there are hundreds, if not thousands of people in this room today. You're scared because God has put a demand on you, but he hasn't given you direction. And this is what causes us to lack faith, is because we believe that God always has to explain himself to us. But let me tell you, there are people all throughout the scripture who didn't know where they were going. They just knew that God told them to go. And you're going to have to get to the place where you trust God so much that you will go, even if he doesn't tell you how it's going to end up. If you knew when your trouble was going to end, it wouldn't be faith. If you knew when all things were going to work together for your good, it wouldn't be faith. So what God does is he leaves you in a situation where you stop trying to figure it out and just let him work it out. Faith. Everybody say faith. All right. F-A-I-T-H. This is what faith means to me. Are you ready? F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Abraham saddled the ass, the donkey, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac and his son, and he says, all right, me and the lad, we're going to go up. You all wait here until we get back. Listen to this. He had a whole group of people. Let me see if I can get a couple of volunteers to help me with this so I can give you an imagery. Can I get this whole row here? Just right here, this whole row. Y'all give them a hand as they come up right here. All right. So just imagine he's got a group of people with him. I don't know how you got picked, but this is Isaac. Okay. And so all of the rest of these people are supporting us. Imagine we've been walking for miles. Okay. Now, this is our group. We all came together. This is important. We're getting ready to go up the mountain. And he says to them, you all have come as far as you are allowed to go. Only he and I are going up the mountain. And this is where most of us make the mistake. We don't know where to leave the people who came with us. You're going to mess up the journey. Come with me, because you're so busy trying to bring everybody with you. And God says, I only have accommodations up here for you and faith. You've got to leave company at the bottom of the mountain. So God says, until you learn that everybody who's with you can't go with you, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to lock you out of destiny, because you're getting ready to let people in who haven't been invited. So what you have to do at this point in your life is recognize who gets to go up in faith and who has to wait on you to return. Now, this is how you will know that you have real people in your life. When you come back off of the mountain, they are not complaining about the fact that you left them, that they are saying, did God give you anything up there for me? I don't know who this word is for, but ask your neighbor, did God give you anything for me? I just want to know, I'm not next to you by accident. I am next to you by divine providence. That means that what I have in me is designed to the thing that's in you. Now, this is how you will know, help me, Holy Ghost, that you are sitting next to the right person. Thank you all so much. This is how you will know you're sitting next to the right person. I'm about to make somebody shout, because I'm about to shout myself. I want you to look at your neighbor, look at him, say, are you the right person? Are you the right person? Are you the right person? You're about to find out real quick how you know you're next to the right person. Okay? All right, look at them. If they not looking, oh, I'm so tired of your neighbor. Aren't you tired of your neighbor? They not even talking to you. Get you a good neighbor. Get you a good neighbor. Come here, sir. Now watch this. Now, what happens when Elizabeth meets Mary? I'm just telling you how you know you're next to the right person. The Bible says that Mary has a baby in her. His name is what? Jesus. Elizabeth has a baby in her. Her baby's name is John the Baptist. John is 6 months old. Jesus is yet an embryo, but the Bible says that when they got in close proximity of each other, the baby in Elizabeth began to leap. This is how you know you are close to the right person, when they make the thing inside of you leap. I want to find somebody who's in this church today, who knows you are next to somebody who makes your baby leap up. Touch your neighbor and say, you made my baby leap. This is how I know you're not next to the right person, because some of y'all still sitting down. That means you're not next to your Elizabeth. I need you to go find somebody that when you get close to them, you feel like speaking in tongues. That when you get close to them, it makes you feel like you can run on. That when you get close to them, you feel like you can start a business. Look them in the eye and say, you've been assigned to me. You've been assigned to my destiny. You've been assigned to my business. You've been assigned to my family. You've been assigned to my marriage. Now I'm about to release you over the next 30 seconds and let the baby leap. Just let it leap. Come on and let it leap. Come on and let it leap. Make sure that you don't surround yourself with people who cause your destiny to be stillborn. Who you surround yourself with when you're pregnant will determine the strength of your baby. And by the way, John is only 6 months old in the womb, not 6 months old outside of the womb. And that will still be a miracle, because 6 month old babies can't walk either. But we're talking about a 6 month old baby in the womb that's leaping before it can walk. Because when you are surrounded by the right people, it puts your destiny on fast forward. You get there quicker when you are surrounded by the right person. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I prophesy in this place that God puts you next to the person he puts you next to as a sign to let you know that as of today, God says, I'm taking 6 months off the process. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. Tell somebody God's taking 6 months off the process. By the time July gets here, I'll be a millionaire. By the time the summer comes. How is the person next to you looking? They still looking sad? Look at them. Are they smiling? See, this is how they ought to be doing this right now. They just ought to be able, not even moving. It's just can't even help it. Just going back and forth, rocking, because you know what? You just realized that God put you next to somebody who's about to help you fast forward to a miracle. He put you next to somebody who's going to help you climb this mountain. He put you next to somebody who's going to help you. Now open up your mouth and scream. Watch this. Be careful who you let go up the mountain with you, because you don't need anybody who speaks negatively climbing with you. If we don't speak the same language, you stay at the bottom. I'm going to the top. That's why I have you identifying the person next to you. Because if you're praising God and they like this, then you know that you are next to what I call a boat person. Remember when Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and nobody got out there with him? You know why? Because sometimes you can be a water walker surrounded by boat people. I need you to find out if you are sitting next to a water walker or a boat person. I don't need you and your spirit talking me out of my destiny. Somebody shout, I'm a water walker. Somebody shout, I'm a water walker. Somebody shout, I'm a water walker. I've got too much to do. I've got too far to go. My destiny's too big. I've got to be surrounded by climbers. You got to have an Isaac who's willing to climb the mountain with you, even if he doesn't know where is the lamb. Notice he didn't stop climbing. He asked questions. He said, Daddy, I'm going, but you said we're going up here to sacrifice, but I don't see a lamb, but if you said go, I'll even carry the wood you're going to kill me on. And this is how you know you are walking with somebody with faith, is that they will carry their own casket. He's carrying the thing that he is about to die in. But because he has so much faith in his Father, he will do it even if he doesn't understand. Faith is not a convenient exercise. Faith requires you to believe you are rich when you are still poor. Faith requires you to believe you're the head even when you feel like the tail. In fact, God told me to tell you that in this next season, He's given you permission to lie. Well, Pastor, I thought that one of the Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not lie. Well, okay, well, but what is faith? Faith is when God changes the rules. Because remember, He said that you should not sacrifice your sons in Jeremiah, and now He's telling Abraham to sacrifice his son. God says, tell the people at the Covenant Nation that in this next season, I give them permission to lie. Lie about what? Not everything, just a couple things. Are you ready to find out what you can lie about? I said, are you ready to find out what you can lie about? Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm about to lie to you. And I want you to praise God with me. Are you ready? Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Somebody lie. Shout. 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 Open up your mouth and give God the glory. Your problem is you care about the truth too much. You think you always have, well, I don't have enough right now. You can say that in your spirit, but don't say it out of your mouth. You have to speak those things that are not as though they were. So you got to have a different conversation. I'm rich. I'm more than enough. I'm capable. And for all the single ladies, I'm married. Oh, I can't hear no woman in here. I dare all the single ladies say, my husband is on the way. Look at all those single ladies. Say, I claim it in Jesus' name. Oh, and by the way, single ladies, God ain't just sending you no anybody. He's sending you an Abraham that's the father of many nations. He'll have political power. He'll have money. He'll have influence. He's going to take you and your entire family to the next level. Do I have any Abrahams in here saying, I'm available too? I'm looking not for seat warmers. I'm looking for mountain climbers. Because sometimes it doesn't take faith to move a mountain. Because if you read historical documentation through the writer Josephus, he will tell you that once Herod the Great saw a mountain, and to compete with God, he had all of his workers to level the mountain and move it out of the way. And he erected another mountain and named it after himself. So money can move mountains too. The only thing your faith actually moves is God. God. And when you move God, mountains have to obey the God that made them. Abraham is walking. Look at this. Because see, this is how you imagine Abraham walking up the mountain. You imagine him walking up the mountain at the age you are. So you think he's like this. He's 102. And Isaac is behind him like, hurry up. Now, meanwhile, Abraham is scared because he knows that if he gets to the top of this mountain, he's going to have to kill this boy. And he's saying, Lord, why would you make me wait 90 years to have to give him back? And Isaac is behind him saying, baby shark, doo 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 doo, baby shark, doo 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 doo. He don't know what's going on. I seen some of the mamas out there, baby shark, doo 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 doo. And they're going up the mountain. What they don't know, and this is why God had him walk up a mountain, is because the mountain always hides what's on the other side. So what Abraham and Isaac don't know is the God of the mountain has somehow spoken to a ram and said, ram, are you hungry? The ram said, yeah. God says, the next thing I want you to eat is up that mountain. And he's just walking. Has no idea that he's walking by faith too. This is amazing. So you got the Father and the Son walking by faith. And you have the ram walking by faith. And as he's walking, somehow he goes into the thicket to perhaps get a berry and his horns get caught. Daddy. Now they don't see what's on the other side of the mountain. Dad. Where is the lamb? Son, I don't know, but the Lord will. I believe that at the same time that Abraham said the Lord will provide, I believe the ram was free. And the moment Abraham spoke by faith. Oh, you missing what I'm saying? The ram is just grazing. He's going around. He's eating. Abraham says, Daddy, where is the lamb? Son, I don't know, but the Lord will. See, what I'm trying to get you to do is speak so it'll get stuck. There is something in your life right now that is roaming around that you need to subjugate into captivity. And God says the moment you speak it, it'll get stuck. I can't hear nobody here. I said, open your mouth. Whatever you need from God, say, God, I need this. I need that. I need a healing. I need a miracle. I need a sign. I need a wonder. I need a revelation. The moment you speak it, the ram gets stuck. And what is needed for the sacrifice? A ram. Now, at this time, they don't know. So, Abraham, I mean, come on, parents, think about what emotional state you would be in if you're wrapping your son up that you waited 9 decades for to kill. Abraham is sobbing and he's crying, and Isaac is saying, baby shark, doo 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 doo, baby. He has no concept that his father will hurt him. Abraham takes the knife. Abraham, stay your hand. The moment that he was getting ready to stab his son, he hears a voice from heaven that says, Abraham, because you were willing to do it, you don't have to do it.
It's a shadow of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary, because he was speared in the side. And the Bible says blood and water came gushing out of the side of Jesus. The fact that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world meant that Isaac did not have to be the Lamb, because Jesus was already the Lamb of God. And he says, Abraham, because you had faith, I'm going to let you keep Isaac. Reason why I need Isaac to live is because he's going to have a son named Jacob. And Jacob is going to have 12 sons. And those 12 sons will be the 12 tribes of Israel. And I am going to come through the tribe of Judah so that I could be the savior of the world. Are you listening to me? Now watch this, and I'm going to be done. Paul said these words, my God shall supply all of my needs according to. What if I told you that if you have the courage to have faith over fear, that everything you need is already in the mountain you're climbing? And I know you can't see it, but that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. God says, if I showed you, it would be trust, not faith. If you knew how big you were getting ready to get, you probably would be arrogant already. If you knew how God was going to work it out, you probably wouldn't be obedient right now. If you knew that for you that poverty was just one generation away from being over forever in your bloodline, you probably wouldn't have the prayer life that you have. So God says, I'm hiding the miracle on the other side of the mountain, because I need you to not just speak to your mountains. Sometimes I need you to climb them. How many of you all came a long way to get here today? It's because you're a mountain climber. How many of y'all have sacrificed in the giving in this week already and has given money that you really need for yourself? You know why? Because you're a mountain climber. How much traffic was in between you and this destination? You know why you kept going? Because you're a mountain climber. And in order to get what nobody else has, you have to do what nobody else does. Right now, on the other side of that wall, there are as many people in the streets selling merchandise, trying to make a living. And you could be working too, but you decided not to work in the middle of the day to trust that God will meet your needs by faith. And I am here to tell you, there was a big difference between those of us in this place and those on the other side of the wall. And that difference isn't that you are better than them. The difference is you're a mountain climber. I want every mountain climber to stand on your feet today. Repeat after me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Say it again. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Lift your hands in this place. Over the next 45 seconds, I want you to begin to speak in your heavenly language. You are released. Something's about to happen in this room. Come on, God, move in this place. Move in this place. Somebody's walking up the mountain. They don't know what you're asking them to do. They don't know what you're asking them to do, but they're walking by faith and not by sight. Come on, God. Somebody needs you to chart the course. They need to know that there's a ram in the thicket. They need to know if they climb that mountain, they can trust you. Some of them are babes in the faith, but they're walking with you, Father. Some of them have lost their mothers. They've lost their fathers. They've lost their way. They've lost their income, but they're walking by faith and not by sight. We give you all the glory. Come on and lift your voice. We worship you. I want to hear your voices one more time. We're going to sing it until the devil gets nervous. One more time, we give you all. I want you to sing it in the overflow. Come on and lift your voice. We give you all the glory. We worship you. Now come on and let the music play and open up your mouth with your own words, with your own worship. Worship Him.
No music. One more time. We give you all. Come on. Let's sing it like we mean it.
We give you all.
Fresh wind. Fresh anointing. Fresh wind. Fresh anointing. Fresh wind. Fresh anointing. Back us with your glory, God. Back us with your resources, God. Back us. By faith we move. By faith we walk. By faith we believe. Not by might nor by power, but by your word, says the Lord. God, we trust you. We believe you. We give you all. We give you all.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord,
oh my
soul.
Oh,
oh my soul.
Oh, yeah.
Worship His holy
name. Sing like never before.
Sing like never before.
One more time, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Woo-hoo.
Oh my soul.
Oh yeah.
Worship His
holy. His holy, His holy name. Yeah. Sing.
Sing like
the rising of the sun to the going down of the same.
Worship His holy.
One more time. One more time. Worship His holy name.
Worship His holy name.
Now come on and give Him glory. Come on and give Him glory.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.